We're going to have a joyful church this morning, amen. We're going to rejoice. We're going to sing. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to read His Word. When you leave here, you're going to be stronger, amen. Pull the seatbelt tight. I'm coming after you today. And Maestro is back in the house on vacation last week in the Bahamas. She's back home with us today. So would you bring us into church?
We stand up and pray together. Good to be back with my brothers and sisters. Amen. We're all in this battle together. The stronger you are, the stronger I am. The stronger I am, the stronger you are as a family. Amen. We need to hold each other up together. And we need to pray to our Father in heaven. Everybody with us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. And how great is our God? How great is our God? How much love can he give us before we stand up and praise him? You love your children? Do you love your grandchildren? How much do you love your grandchildren? You picture one. How much do you? And you love him. Amen. You love her. Amen. Guess how much God in heaven loves you. He loves you like that. Amen. Our Father in heaven. And that song said Ancient of Days. You know what Ancient of Days, Deacon Gary, you do have to teach that some. Ancient of Days is God the Father. God the Father is Ancient of Days. He was and is and always will be Ancient of Days. You'll find that, I believe, in Daniel when he's talking about God and he's having the visions. Praise the Lord. So many wonderful things. Let's do the responsive reading this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Hallelujah. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. Amen. Amen. Psalm 122. I got from the pastor's desk. If you'll turn, you'll see what we talked about last week and the week before. Marilyn and I are working on getting this right. What we want to do is from the pastor's desk each week be about the sermon the week before. Maybe we can make, Marilyn, I was thinking maybe we get like some copies of just that and number them as the date, zero, like last week would be 010817. And then you can take them home and put them in a book, put them in an envelope, put them in a, and you can go back and read. What did we talk about? Say that with me. What did we talk about last week? And as you get that, and like this is a, everything we have is a blessing from God, you start to read that. You don't have to go to the Bible right away. You start to read that, and you get the message of the sermon, and you start to say, boy, I want to know more about that. And then you start to read a little, and you start to dig deeper. Can I get an amen? And that's what we're going to try to do. And we can't make you read. We can't, like, we're talking to David. We can't, but we want to lead you to the point where you want to read his word. You want to hear his voice. Amen? You want to, and here's how, everybody, could you just be quiet once? Everybody be quiet. Shh. Thank you, Lord. That's how you hear his voice. When you have that quiet time. Amen? Did you hear how still it was? And how you got, oh, I got to be quiet. And so you stop thinking. You stop worrying. You stop everything for a second. You were clear. And God, you see, God, see, say that with me. God. God can move right there and start talking to you. Say, why don't you do this or do that? Why don't you pray about, amen? And when God starts talking to you, all of a sudden your prayers got power because guess who's leading you? Praise the Lord. I want to have men's fellowship. I want to have a men's fellowship when they have the women's fellowship. And I thought we'd have it at the same time when maybe the women would be downstairs or and the men. And you know what? Because I've learned this. Guess what I've learned? Men and women, they think different. Cindy, the same book, same God, Jesus, we love you. And then we think different. So I'm thinking, what can we do as brothers and sisters? We can have the men upstairs talking about what we can do to help the ladies. And then the women can be downstairs and say, you know, maybe we don't understand the way the men think. Maybe we ought to work together. And I think we could perform miracles. I'm telling you, I believe in miracles. I don't want little, I mean, I want the little blessings, get me true. But I want miracles. I want us to grow in a way that every church says, what are you guys doing? So I'm thinking, maybe because men and women think different, Jim. They do. They really do. And I'm thinking, Dave, that because that's what we want. We want everybody, we want families to be tighter, husbands and wives, brothers. But we want the church. We want the bride. When he comes down, we want him to walk through those doors and see his bride adorned and ready, beautiful, ready for him. Amen. And the way that we get ready for him is to know him and for us to be so tight in unity that when he walks in, he takes us in his arms. Amen. God can do that. Man, not so sure, but God can do that. Amen? That's one of my prayers. That's one of my hopes and dreams. Can you pray that with me? See, the men, we can get that. There got to be one thing, though. You got to be honest when we're talking. We got to be honest. We got to be real about it. Can I get an amen? I think it's so good. We had a, I don't want to say miracle, but we were praying about it this last Sunday. There was this game. The Giants were playing this other team. And this is serious. If the Giants won that game last week, they would be playing another team. And I don't want to see division in the church. The Giants would be playing the Dallas Cowboys, and this church would be all about that game and not about God. See, and Joe, I'm sorry, he didn't let the Giants lose, but because they lost, we have unity today, see? Praise God. I'm believing for miracles. I need people to believe with me. Can you do that? I mean, are you really believing God for miracles? I know I am. I truly am. I just love him. I love God. I love Sharon. You better pull the seatbelt tight because I'm coming after you in a minute. Hallelujah. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, and this is, if you want to look it up, read it later, Luke 17, I'm starting at 11, Luke 17:13. So now it has happened as he went to Jerusalem, and we're talking about Jesus, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers. How many? Who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices. Listen to what they said. They said, Jesus, Master. Imagine that. They knew who he was. They recognized him. Amen. Do you understand what that says? They recognized him. Even though the Pharisees, even though the people who should have recognized him didn't. These people, they were lepers. How many were there? They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went that they were cleansed. Now if I leave you with simply, go show yourself to the priest, you might say, well, what does that mean? I'm going to go back to Leviticus, one of the first five books of the Bible. Moses given the law to the Israelites. Amen? The Israelites. And it says in Leviticus 14, then the Lord spoke to Moses. Who spoke it? Hallelujah. This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command him to take for him who is cleansed, two living and clean birds. And it talks about what the leper is going to do. But see, Jesus did one thing first. Understand, when you read his word, there's nothing hidden. But when he reads his word, he went right to scripture. He went right to scripture, amen? And he told the lepers, he said, and when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed, you see? But Jesus is sticking to the book, see? He's telling them so the Jewish nation understands that they're going to go right to the priest and do what? What the Bible told them to do. Okay, hallelujah. And one of them, how many? When he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice, with a what? Hallelujah. With a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan, amen, was not necessarily part of the Jewish nation. They were some Jewish people, but they lived in different rules. They intermarried. They did other things. They weren't exactly accepted in the Jewish nation. Amen. Anybody remember another Samaritan person? Deacon, I know you did. We talked about the woman at the well was a Samaritan. And see, in the Jewish nation kind of shunned them because they did bad things. They sinned. Hallelujah. Thank God we all do. And so it was. So you understand that this, and Luke is telling us. And Jesus said, Jesus answered. Hallelujah. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? You see, Jesus is making a point here. He's calling the Samaritan a foreigner, see, because the nation was not accepting. So Jesus is looking at them and saying, none of you came to thank me except this what? Hallelujah. Was there not 10 cleansed, he said. But where are the 9? He knew. He's saying things so people hear him. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Say that with me. Your faith has made you well. What did he do? Did he do his faith? What did he create? Nothing. What was made him well, Sergio? His faith. Who said that? Jesus. To this man, your faith has made you well. Amen? And that's the testimony. See, it's faith that moves God. It's faith that he reacts to. The Bible says we cannot please him except with our what? Faith. And that's simply believing in your life, in my life, and seeing God and accepting God into your heart. It changes you. It has to change you. When God gets into your heart, you have to change. Either that or you don't accept it. And you can tell the people who talk about God but haven't accepted it because nothing in their life has changed. Amen. So this testimony is God. When I tell you, when I say it to you in church 1,000 times on a Sunday, give him praise, church. Give him thanks. I'm telling you because the Bible says he is moved by that. He is moved. And we want to move God. We can't direct him. We can't pull him. We can't tell him what to do. But we can move him with our praise. Amen. We can say thank you, Lord. When you wake up in the morning, say thank you, Lord. That moves him. Because you're acknowledging right away his presence, his love, and the fact that he is blessing you today. Amen. How many got things they're going through today that they need help with? He's ready. He's ready. You have to do something. What did he say to the man, to the leper? Arise and go your way. Your what? Faith has made you well. Hallelujah. Lord, let us see today that you have given us the tools to build the house. You have given us the knowledge to build the house. You have given us the power to build the house. The house being our body, our life, our heart, our spirit. You have given us all the tools we need to succeed. To be strong, to draw others to you, to show them you. Our spirit, our love, the way we treat others. You have given us that in our heart to do that. You have given us all the tools to be kind, to be gracious. You have given us the tools to be compassionate on one another. You have given all that. We have that. We need to use that. And that faith, oh, little as it might be today, is like a muscle, and the more you use it and the more you see God, the more you see God in your life, that faith gets stronger and stronger. And when something comes against you, when the devil comes against you, when you do something really, really dumb like I did this week, I look up to you and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I have a memory that I can remember my brother and everything we did and all the things we laughed about and we talked about and we shared about the fishing and the football and the baseball and the Yankees and everything that he talked about with my music. I have all that. I have all that. Maybe I was leaning a little bit too much on something I didn't need to hold on to. I don't know, Lord, but I do know that I have you, and I know someday that I'll see him again too. But I have a job here, and we have jobs to do here. And I thank God that God has loved me enough to carry me through my bumps and bruises as he's carried you through to this day in 2017. So the testimony is you have the tools. We have the Word of God. The more you feed off it, the more you'll see for your life that God is real and moving in your life in ways that you never even thought possible. This one man came back and thanked him. And Luke and Jesus thought it enough to put it in the Bible. The story in the Bible for us. The lessons. The little bit that we read, the lessons. Unbelievable. Just give him thanks. Moves him. Hallelujah. Moves him. When I say give him praise, church, I'm asking you to help me move God to this church. When we sing praises and we invite him in and he says he inhabits the praise of his people, please hear that. The Bible says it, not your pastor. I only repeat what the words say. He inhabits the praise of his people. That Jesus is sitting behind me, sitting right behind me. And the angels are around. They have to be with him. They're going to be praising him. And they're around the church. And I ask you to keep us safe. Keep the angels around us. And I believe it. I can't see it with my eyes, but I believe it in my faith. I believe it with faith. God moves. Hallelujah. So that's what we're praying about and becoming stronger for each one of us. Elder Pat came home today with us, and Tom came back home to be with us on Sunday. It made everybody's heart rejoice. Like I told you last week, who is great among us? Everybody in this church. You look around and you'll see greatness. I mentioned Walter last week because I wanted him to know he brings me joy. Every time I'm with him, he brings me joy to the point that I don't want to leave. I want to spend time with him. And that's the way it is with brothers and sisters. You want to spend time with them because we are God's children, and it's starting to shine through. That we hurt when somebody hurts, and we rejoice when somebody rejoices as a family. Hallelujah. God is working in this church. I believe it. I believe it. Have faith. Have faith in the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give him praise, church. I want to spend time today giving you my opinion on what's going to happen this week in the United States of America. We got a new guy being president. I'm going to. No, I'm not. You know why I'm not going to? You know why I'm not going to? We don't have time. Amen. We don't have time for that. You know, because God's in control. Amen. So we don't want to get in the way of whatever God's got planned. So, but we got time for one thing, to get us stronger together. Amen. We got time to not worry about that. We got time for the book. We got time for strength together. Amen. Jesus of Nazareth, Matthew 13:57. Jesus saying, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. He is not without honor except when he is in his own country and in his own house. See, everybody knows him too well. Jesus. And if Jesus says, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Amen. Jesus, Pat, did not do a lot of work in his hometown. You know why? Because they didn't believe who he was. So he couldn't do mighty works. Understand that. Mark 4:39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? God got you right here today, 2017, January the 15th. And he could stand here and say sometimes to us, say that with me, us, why have you no faith? Hallelujah. Amen. All right, good guys, you're good. Good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. How many years? I'm sorry, this is Mark. We're going to read 5:25. Mark 5:25, you want to read this story. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. Understand that not every doctor is a great doctor. All doctors are wonderful. They give, but just like everything else, there's ones that are better. Amen. Can like we all say that? We're not, understand that. You go to a dentist. How many have gone to a good dentist and had a bad dentist and said, well, he's still a dentist, I'd rather go to. So he's just saying, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had. How much? And was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, what did she do? She heard about him. She came behind him. And this is going to put you, I love this story. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, if only I might touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, who, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? Listen to his disciples now. Jesus, who touched me? But his disciples said to him, Lord, you see a multitude thronging around you, and you say, who touched me? Praise God, see? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, imagine that. Jesus had just healed her, and now she's afraid. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Hallelujah. Imagine that. What made her well? Your faith has made you well. Thank you, Lord. Mark 8:5. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, Matthew 8:5. Forgive me. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. Now what's a centurion? It's a soldier who is in charge of how many people? 100 people, which makes him a centurion. That's it. That's all. Jews entered Capernaum, and Jesus entered. A centurion came to him, pleading with him. What was he doing? Hallelujah. Understand, pleading. The other woman, begging. People, the lepers, begging, pleading. Sometimes you got to do that. Amen. Can I get an amen? Sometimes you can just pray for something and la, la, la. But sometimes when it really matters, listen, that word means a lot. He was pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. My goodness. For he is saying, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. What did he do? Understand what the centurion just did to Jesus. Amen. He made Jesus marvel. Amen. People read that and they miss that word. Understand what the kind of faith that Jesus was seeing. He marveled. Hallelujah. He marveled. Hallelujah. Jesus, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, he didn't even talk to the centurion at first. He turned around and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not in Israel. He's saying those people who know the word of God, they don't have the faith. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He is saying that some people will come just simply because they said they believed, or some people will come who claim that they believe, and they will be cast out because they do not, what, believe. He's saying that. I say that many will come from east and west, but they will be cast out into darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth because they simply fail to do one thing, what? Believe. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed at the same hour. Hallelujah. Now I wrote, I dare you. And I prayed about it all, but I was going to say, I dare you. And then somehow last night God was saying, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was just me. So I guess I should change it to I challenge you. And I challenge you to believe. I do. I challenge you to try. Now, stay with me now. I challenge you to refuse to hang on to doubt. I challenge you to refuse to hang on to doubt. Amen. What you know, and this is important because I know we got a lot of folks who know, I want you to listen to this point. What you know and believe today is meaningless to what you will know tomorrow because God and Jesus will be in more control. So I want you to forget everything that you think you know and start anew again as a child today, receiving more. Cleaning out what you thought you knew so that more can enter. Amen. What you felt you thought you had all this faith, throw it away. It's meaningless today. We're going to grow from today. What you had faith in yesterday is gone. It's past. You don't need that faith anymore. Amen. So I challenge you to give God. Give God. I put down January, February, March. But I'm challenging you to give God. And I'm preaching to the choir. I know, Deacon Gary, we said I'm preaching to the choir because this is the church. But I'm telling you to hang on because we have allowed roadblocks to control us all our lives. We have roadblocks that control us. And I'm challenging you as I'm challenging me to give God all I can. Just give it to him. I put January, February, March, but I'm just saying, give it to him. Because at times, anybody ever know this? It seems like nothing is going right. Have you ever had those times when nothing is going right? You say, I'm praying, I'm believing, but I still feel pressure and I still worry. God is saying the battle is mine, not yours. Amen. He said, so don't settle for what you're feeling. That's giving up. Don't say, okay, I guess this is it, because that's giving up. Can I get an amen? Listen. Hallelujah. God is in control. He's going to do, but you just, sometimes it just doesn't seem to be working. So I tell you this, brothers and sisters, today, this Sunday, each prayer is an adventure, Jim. You like it? You like to read, so you like adventure. You are living in a book now. You can write the book a year from now, what you did this year. It'll be your adventure, the adventure of even Jim. Each prayer, Jackie, you've been through so much the last couple of years. Those are adventures now that you could write about that you've come through the battle. You still have battles. We all have battles. But he got you through to today. I mean, your joy should be so full and your peace should be so like, oh, something else coming against me. Oh, really? Oh, really? God got me through this. I got other things to do. I'm going to let that go to God. I mean, we should all be in a state where God, look at the blessings we have. Look at how you look, how you're dressed, how you feel, and everybody's out. Amen? Look at what God is doing. Each prayer is an adventure. Say that with me. Each prayer is an adventure. Sometimes it becomes a journey. Amen. Can I get an amen? It becomes a journey. It's going to take a while. Miss Mary, we are praying for you every single minute of every day. We know that the right one will be for God has the timing for you. And we know your faith and we know that your testimony will be just as strong. And we believe it's done. God said it's done. We just have to wait for the time of his time. Amen. You see, but each journey, each prayer is a journey, Sergio. So I know you pray and you talk a lot. So that's your journey now. It's a wonderful journey because you're with who? Hallelujah. You're with me. Then you'll start to see a blessing. Amen. You got to, all of a sudden you'll see a little blessing. Something. Somebody helps you. Well, you didn't expect it. Somebody. Maybe somebody encourages you. So you didn't expect somebody. All of a sudden you find favor with somebody. We've been trying to get our CD done since October. My wife has called every place to call. She, the other day on the phone, she didn't know I noticed she was. She tried to get this person. Nobody was there. She tried to get, leave a message. And we were like, she's just like, nothing's going right. And all of a sudden, this woman called up from, it's called Disc Makers, called up. And she was like an angel sent from, she said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything. We might be 2 weeks away from it. I mean, this one person, right in the middle of like this, just I'm praying, I'm believing. All of a sudden, this light came through. We met this one person on the telephone. And she says, Noreen, I'll take care of it. Just tell me what. And so you'll start to see blessings like that. You'll start to find favor. Sergio, you will. You'll start to see. And every little blessing is a big victory. Can you say that with me? Every blessing is a big victory. It is. It is. And Marty's not here today, but quit smoking. And you tell this to Karen, too. Quit smoking. You make it through an hour. Amen? You make it through an hour. Guess what that is? A victory. So you say, I made it. 2 hours is a victory. Amen. So you make it through a day. What is that? A victory. And remember, there are no small victories. It may seem every door is closed. Anybody ever feel that way? Tell yourself. Hallelujah. Maybe, and I'm telling you because I don't know everything about God, but I know God. Sometimes the door is closed for a reason because God doesn't want you to go through there. Because if you go through there, you're going to get hurt. Amen? So he's closing the door. Anybody ever realize that after the fact? I have many times. He's closed the door. So you put your time and mind to the things of the day that you can do. Say that with me. That you can. can do. Are you with me? So that's what you do. You got all these dreams and they're not working out. So you say, okay, I can do this today. I can work on this. I can work on that. I can make myself better for when the dream comes. See, then every little thing done are victories. And as you do it that way with God, see, this is what it removes: stress, anxiety, worry, doubt, frustration. It removes all of that because you're just doing what you can do while God is doing his thing. Amen. And so when you give it to him and you see those little things and you understand that I can do what I can, I can work on me today while God is doing the impossible, all the while realizing that God is with you, leading you. Amen. Can I get an amen? Then you begin to talk to God. I've told you many times to talk to God. Now, this is where I'm going to close because this is beautiful. And I want you to understand our Father in heaven. Amen. I want you to understand how much he loves you. And so this is just as real. And it's not that he doesn't expect this. But God knows that when he answers those prayers of yours, that prayer that's moving you, the desire of your heart, whether it be if you want a mate or whatever, he knows that when he answers that prayer, you won't have the time to spend with him anymore. Now, you're going to forget him. Amen? You're not going to stop. But you won't have that time that you've been praying and holding out to be with him. He'll know that he won't have you the way he has you today. Imagine that. Your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And I can see that like my dad. I was blessed. I had a daddy who loved me more than that was just amazing. It's like a father watching his son go off to school or start a new career. And he realizes, I won't have that time to spend with him anymore. I won't have that time in the morning, that time at night. But what is in the father's heart? Pride. Pride for his son to succeed. He's going off to school. He's building a new business. He's starting a new career. And you say, I won't have the time. And I feel sad that I won't have the time. But I'm proud. Amen? Well, guess who you're a child of? You ever look at it that way? Kind of sad in a way, isn't it? That he knows he won't have that time with you. Yet, it's for the glory of his Father. He has promised to answer yes and amen to the glory of his Father. So as you're praying and spending time with God, realize that when that prayer gets answered, he knows that you're going to be a little too busy to have this time with him. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. We'll just close with this. Thank you, Lord. Mark 11. And go right back to the beginning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the root. Oops, I'm going to go back a little. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now the next day, I'm sorry, I'm going to read Mark 11:12. If you want to read this story at home, this is closing. Stay with me now. Stay right here with me because I'm going to go right back to the beginning of the sermon and you'll understand. Now the next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find some on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat from fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now in the morning, this is going to 20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look. The fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Look at it. So Jesus answered and said to them, and he's saying to you, Second Congregational, he's saying to you this morning, January the 15th, 2017, he's telling us as a church, he's telling us as people, have faith in God. Jesus answered and said, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Believe that you receive them. We have been given power We have the power now. We can use the power now. You say, why do I want to move a mountain? That's what people think that don't know the Bible. What are you talking about? The mountain is whatever in your life today. I have my mountains. My bride has her mountains. Amen? The Cowboys have their mountain today. But the mountains are real in your life. And the Bible is saying, believe. Believe. It says right here, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. And he tells us, what is he telling us? We have the power. Today, you have it. You've been praying for it. You've been praying for things. You say you ought to claim those things. You ought to start saying, thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you, Lord, for my heart's desire. Set it in motion each and every day. I dare you to give God that total time, to give him that commitment, that today you will put him first and you will say thank you in the morning. You will say thank you at night. You will love your husband and your wife in different. You will do things that will change the course of mighty rivers. I believe with God, all things are possible. Amen. Give him praise, church.
All you hear about, as Pastor said, all you hear about is the election and the inauguration and whatever, and you just, you know, you could talk about it for hours and hours and hours. But one thing that I heard the other day when I was driving to work, it kind of caught my ear. I was going to say eye. And I wanted to share it with you. There's at the inauguration day, there's going to be 6 religious leaders that are going to be up and praying for the country. And the reason it caught my eye was that seems to be more than we've ever had at an inauguration. And of course, you guys who go to Bible study know if something catches my eye, I'm going to do some research on it. So you're going to have to suffer for a couple minutes here. But I think it's pretty interesting. So again, we have 6 different faith leaders that are going to speak here. I'll just mention a few of them here. So you have Paula White. Now, so this is the first female clergy member to ever do a prayer at Inauguration Day. She's certainly a evangelicist. You have Rabbi Marvin Hare. Now, there you go, a rabbi. Now, that's the first rabbi since 1985 that's ever done a prayer and spoken at inauguration. You got Bishop Wayne Jackson, and I don't know if many of you remember Bishop Jackson, but Donald Trump got invited to a black church in Detroit, I think it is, and Bishop Jackson was the head of that church, and he's now going to be able to be speaking and praying at the inauguration. Anybody know Reverend Franklin Graham? Right. Okay. Billy Graham's son. He's going to be praying there as well. And I still remember one of the things that Billy Graham said as well. And again, I'm not no political stance. Everybody knows where I felt on the election and everything. But he's one of the ones that said, well, Trump was, the polls and everything else said that he hadn't have a chance, and it was only God that could intervene and made that happen. So I'm hoping that that's true. And of course, Cindy, Cardinal Timothy Dolan. We know that the Catholics are going to be well represented. And a Reverend Dr. Samuel Rodriguez, and he is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. And so he had a lot of interesting things to say during the, you know, leading up to the election and whatnot. But I just thought it was very encouraging and positive to see that there's so many faith leaders some different disciplines, if you will, that are going to be there and praying for the country. And I must say, I've been trying to reach Trump and tell him that the only thing is missing is George isn't going to be leading God Bless America at the end. but I hope, you know, I hope you guys are taking it the same way I am. I'm really encouraged that maybe we're seeing that God's going to come back into the country a little bit more, and that these 6 people are going to start the ball rolling. So anyway, all that being said, yes, we have Bible study on Tuesday. So and as we've been saying, we're going through trying to build the church here at Second Congregational and increase the congregation and bring people closer to God. And that's what we're studying here. So I'll offer you a challenge too. For those of you who want to learn how the church was built up back then, come on to Bible study Tuesday night. So yes, sir. 7:00. Yes, sir.
60 organizations that are going to be there to protest Trump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of protests or whatever. But again, as Pastor said on and on, we need to look into God and looking more to these six leaders are going to pray for the country. They could be 600,000 protesters there. If God's involved with it, what's a few hundred thousand protesters, right? Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah. Now, listen, we have to be in unity. The church is focused on who? Jesus, amen? And we as people, we have feelings and emotions, and they run just as deep as the Red Sox and the Yankees, Cowboys and the Giants. But understand, we all have one responsibility, to put God first. And if something isn't the way we think it ought to be, then where do we go? To God. Where do we go to pray? To God. So when we see things that we don't think are right, we go to God and we give them to who? And that keeps the church in unity. Amen. We don't worry about, we don't preach on it in that sense because we need to stand with God. Amen. Anybody here know more than God does? Well, hallelujah. So if something is happening and it doesn't make sense to you, and trust me, there are some of the most beautiful people in the world that you will love with all your heart that feel totally opposite of some of the way we feel. So understand that it doesn't feel right to them. So what we do is we say, we're going to give it to God because we don't know what God has planned, amen? But the one thing we do pray, the one thing that we all should pray and the Bible says to pray, and the one thing I wish I would hear more from reverence is that we need to lift him up. If he's going to be our next president, then we need to pray for him because he's leading all of us, amen? And whatever path he leads us down, we pray that he hears from who? Not from us, amen? He hears from God. And that makes the unity back again, amen? And that brings us back to the center core again, and then we allow God and the things that happen around us, and we see that, amen? All of a sudden, we have faith in God again, and we love each other again, amen? But what's happening, and what the devil tries to do, and he's trying to do it in churches, he's trying to do it in the world, he's trying to cut and divide. Brothers and sisters fighting over politics and sports, and he's sitting back rejoicing. We're not going to let that happen, amen, because we're focused on God. Amen? We can have our feelings and our joy and our hopes, and when our team loses, we get sad, and when our team wins, we're happy for a minute, amen, but it's got nothing to do with our life today with the Lord. It's got nothing to do with where we're going to eat later and our job and the people that we love, amen. What God has is so much more important, and when we give them to him, then we don't worry about that. Of course, you enjoy your opinions. I have mine. I enjoy talking to people about it. But it's got this place right here. This place right here, we're building a bride for him. Amen. And when he comes in and he sees people who loved Hillary Clinton. See, they love her and other people who love Trump. And then he looks and says, look at you guys loving one another and you're not fighting. And he sees Red Sox fans and Yankee fans and they're loving one another. And he sees Cowboy fans and Giant fans and they're loving one another. He's going to come in and say, this is my bride. This is what I looked for. Even though they have their emotions and lean not on your own understanding and the unity grows. Amen. Just keep praying. If something doesn't sound right to you, if somebody says something doesn't, then you pray about it. Say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't even agree with that. But I'm going to give it to you because, you know what? My wife hurt her arm. I got to take care of that. I don't have time for what's going on in the world. So I have to take care of mine. Prepare the road. Get it ready. So when God answers the prayer, you can run with it and enjoy it. Amen. Unity is the most important thing in this church. Let not one root of bitterness, the Bible says. One little root of bitterness can destroy the church. And we have to pray each and every day that it doesn't happen. Does that mean we won't get along sometimes? Of course not. Because we all disagree sometimes. But what we need to do, and the biggest battle, and when we walk through those, we become stronger. We love deeper. I know I do. I know I do. My heart is so full right now that I just can't, I can't stand how wonderful it feels. And I know that each week it's going to be even better. Right? Right? That's how it is. See? When we heal, we're stronger with the healing. So give him praise, church. Hallelujah.